Thank him for your thoughts, your feelings, for the fact that you exist. This is grace from God. How ungrateful you are if you wish not to exist and prefer destruction. Your unbelief has made you so unhappy, you alone are to blame for your misery. Ingratitude towards others is also despicable. Woe to him of whom it can be said, "For a piece of bread, he gave me a stone." Some are ungrateful out of pride, they think they are humiliating themselves by giving thanks. Oh, the poor! They will later have to beg for the blessings they repaid with ingratitude. Be thankful to God and your fellow human beings. Truly, you cannot give thanks warmly and sincerely enough. May your life be a song of thanksgiving and praise. Unbelief. In unbelief is inconstancy. Both are obstacles on the path to perfection. Lack of faith makes us unhappy, weak, and often brings despair. Unbelief is a terrible monster. As soon as it seizes a person's heart, peace, tranquility, and happiness are gone. How Jesus had to fight against people's unbelief. High spirits and stubbornness are rooted in unbelief. Every higher, better feeling dies. The path to God is lost. Your wings are clipped, and you stand before the dark abyss of despair without any prospect of light or salvation. O man, why unbelief? Look, it makes you so utterly miserable, so discouraged and weary of life. Is it not better to believe, to be joyful in gold, trusting with childlike piety? Unbelief, with its dark power, not only seizes people, it also lies heavy and paralyzing on the mind, hindering its progress. Therefore, we advise you to put an end to unbelief on earth. Don't take it with you to the afterlife, where it will make you even more unhappy than here on earth. Strength of faith on earth brings bliss in the afterlife. Immortality. Our immortality is a fact, a truth that cannot be proven materially, because it belongs to those things that are spiritual, divine. God, immortality, sensation, reason, love, faith, conscience, are existing and undeniable things that cannot be grasped or proven materially. They reveal themselves to humankind through effects, but remain invisible. In a world of crude senses like the earth, spiritual insight, the capacity to see spiritually, is not taken from humankind, but it is made more difficult. You, dear people, must work your way up through darkness to light, attain truth through study. The materialist says that immortality cannot be proven, but he cannot logically and irrefutably explain that it is not. He cannot sufficiently understand all spiritual things in man. The senses prove it, there is something above all, and it is an unsolvable riddle to him. God always sends his messengers who speak for immortality. Alarm clocks that call you from your sleep. Behold, such a messenger of God in this time is spiritism with all its mediums. An invisible life weaves and stirs around people. Undeniable proofs come that your deceased live, that they can manifest themselves identically, that therefore there is no death. When a so-called man of science then denies the evidence and phenomena with the word humbug, or when representatives of the Christian Church condemn them as the work of the devil, they reveal their own poverty, and posterity will marvel at the inability of scholars to understand, at the stubbornness of our clergy. The theory of immortality, spiritism with all its manifestations, will go their way, gloriously, because guided by God. Spiritualism is not a modern phenomenon, for it investigates manifestations from the spirit world, which has always existed and will continue to exist eternally despite all attacks. Ghostly apparitions have always existed, just as doubt about immortality has always existed. Civilized peoples, however, believe in God and immortality, that is to say, among them, faith and doubt are greater than among uncivilized peoples, for there is no study without doubt. Faith is, after all, doubt conquered. Christ spoke to Moses and Elijah on Mount Tabor. His disciples saw the apparition, thus, Jesus also conversed with spirits. Christ's resurrection is the greatest proof of immortality. Here all argument should be silenced. Here is victory. Thus, you will find everywhere, in the oldest books, proof of life after death. But the doubter is just like Thomas, for whom all this is not enough. Since there could be a doubter among the 12 apostles, do not be surprised by the doubters of the world. The spiritualism of our day is nothing other than the theory of eternal immortality, the light that is meant to shine upon you, the voice that cries out, Hallelujah! Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests. 208, Father. In an earlier chapter, we spoke of the respect and love that every child owes its mother. The same is owed to the Father. God places you under the earthly rule of the Father, to Him you owe obedience. Family ties are not accidental, they are not broken by earthly life. It is therefore a duty for father and child to treat each other well, the father's duty to set a good example for his child, the child's duty to follow him. A child's love, when it is based on respect, is lasting only when it can look up to its father. This is the best guiding star throughout life. O fathers, so lead and guide your children. Children, be faithful and self-sacrificing. The father should be strict with his children's faults. He is the responsible leader of their lives. But the children should lovingly turn a blind eye to their parents' weaknesses. God has subordinated the child to the father. Remain a child until your old age. Never forget respect for your father, and God's blessing will rest upon your head. What can hurt you when it comes from the Father? Whoever has to bear it with patience. May the bond between child and father remain sacred. Merit. Man considers so much of his own merit, not realizing that he could do nothing without the love and grace of God. Oh, how miserable and helpless you would be without God. It is very difficult to say what your own merit is, for besides the divine assistance inherent in circumstances and conditions, there are also the good spirits who, as God's servants, arrange things in your favor. Since your own merit is therefore very small, do not be proud and conceited, do not boast, say to yourself daily, what would I be, a poor, weak, sinful human being, without God's grace? I can attribute nothing to myself but my own merit. It is God who works in me. See how far you still are from the path of virtue. If you fulfill God's commandments, you are only doing your duty. Merit, however, would only be what you do beyond the task set before you. Be humble, fulfill your duty, attribute nothing to yourself, only in this way will you walk on the right path. The past has not vanished, it exists. Indeed, the past of many things is immortal. The past has a long-lasting effect, it works and spins its threads through the present and into the future. Past, present, and future, are three moments in time, closely intertwined, which together constitute time and eternity. The past is the immortal spirit of what has been, the obituary, the echo, the faithful image of what once existed. The spiritual eye sees how the soul, the life of what exists, clings to everything, how it faithfully reflects itself, how these images remain even when everything that came into contact with them has died. The soul of things lives on. Thus, the past lives and does not die, it speaks on and on through the soul of the things that were. Human beings, your thoughts, your feelings, and your actions are immortal. Create a beautiful, sacred immortality around yourselves. Forgiveness. O Lord, forgive us our trespasses. And add immediately, as I forgive those who trespass against me. Whoever asks for forgiveness must be able to forgive themselves. Christ, the Messiah, also prayed on the cross for those who led him to his painful death without asking for forgiveness. Indeed, he added, for they do not know what they are doing. He died for all for the forgiveness of sins. Strive to think like Christ. Forgive before you are asked, and do not harbor resentment in your heart. If you have turned away from God, no return is possible without repentance and a plea for forgiveness, but God forgives the repentant sinner. You must return to Him as repentant and humble as the prodigal son in the gospel. You yourself, however, should be kind and lenient with those who have wronged you. Meet them halfway, extend a friendly hand, and speak the word forgiveness before they ask for it. Reason. Only God is perfect and supreme reason. He who created spirits in his own image gave them reason and free will. Apart from God, only his children, that is, spirits and humans, possess reason and free will. These two qualities are meant to be the means of spiritual development, perfection, and progress. Reason follows the will and laws of God. Only unreason is disobedient. The opposite is unreason, chaos, misery, sin. Reason is meant to reconcile this. It is meant to lead the opposite back to the law, to return evil to good. All misfortune comes from unreason, but reason is meant to guide you, to give you insight, and to lead you on the right path. Be good, and you will be reasonable. Understanding. Creatures endowed with free will and reason possess understanding. Scholars want to explain understanding only materially. They say it is conditioned by the brain's phosphorus content. If reason were a purely physical thing, residing solely within the organism, then after death all people would lose their reason and become mere simpletons as spirits. But this is not so. Who knows this better than a scholar who, through manifold manifestations of spirits, has proof that reason continues in the afterlife in the most diverse variations, just as it did on earth. Reason is a spiritual gift, not a physical one. Artists, poets, great geniuses, and talents are born as such. They bring these inherent gifts to earth, as do inventors. They bring inventions, and their task is to make them known on earth. All this does not lie in the structure or phosphorus content of the brain. They are gifts, acquired knowledge of the mind. The spirit makes itself at home in its human body and imprints talents and thoughts upon it. Thus, the highest reason is not to be found among human beings, but in God and his perfect spirits. Those who are free from human hands and organisms possess the greatest intellect. The human body presses upon the intellect, clouding it, making it earthly, and only great minds can truly work their way through it. The reason why one can observe such varying degrees of intellect and talent in children lies not in the brain, but in the diversity of spirits. The spirit imprints its abilities upon the organism. The greatest genius is often born in the dregs of society to ignorant parents, and even in the highest circles. Despite the most careful upbringing, there are fools. Intellect, just as reason resides in the spirit, is the gift of immortal beings. In contrast, there is ignorance. The highest intellect therefore masters the opposite and all evil, which remains the slave of unreason and ignorance. Tempters, you do not see the tempters, and yet they are there, surrounding you. Jesus often speaks of the tempter who gives like a roaring lion and watches whom he devours. That's how it is. The fallen spirits, bound to the earth. These are the tempters. They want to drag you to ruin, lead you into sin. Their voices speak to you. The spirit knows these spirits. He knows it. They are not devils, but misguided, unhappy spirits. For the wicked and sinful are indeed unhappy. Meet such spirits with gentleness and prayer. Prayer is the surest way to remove evil spirits from you. Indeed, they can often be converted through fervent prayer. Thus, the tempter will never gain power over you. You will conquer him and stand victorious. Your sin would make the tempters even more unhappy, but your virtue can redeem them. Redeem yourselves and others, O friends, and the tempters will stand powerless. Trust. Trust in God is the greatest treasure. Trust is the first step to repentance and forgiveness. Just trust, God hears you. But trust must come from a faithful, sincere heart, without calculation or falsehood. Only perfect trust brings help. Trust begets trust. An open, sincere mind, devoid of falsehood, will also find true friends. A bruise is the foundation of all love and friendship. The great trust and think great, and will grasp virtue. Only the small waver and think small of others. Madness. Doctors explain madness as a disease of the brain. They do not acknowledge any harmful mental influences. This explanation is one-sided. The body is not always the only one ill. Often, it is the mind. For madness also exists in the spirit world, and often this mental madness is transplanted into the human body through forced incorporation. How is it possible, you will ask, that spirits without organisms can be insane? Yet it is so. Madness is disturbed harmony, a fixed idea, often pride, irrationality. It is a mental aberration. Such a kind of madness exists among spirits. Isn't the whole fall of spirits not a wanting to be posed brought about the fall of spirits, that is disharmony, and all evil? In the spirit world, there are many afflicted with fixed ideas. If such a spirit forces itself to possess a human being, then the seed of madness already lies in the child, takes shape in the organism, and sooner or later the mad person arises from the deranged spirit. This is the innate, inherent madness. Another kind of madness arises through possession by fallen spirits. If the person has no willpower, if they cannot pray, then the fallen spirit takes such possession of the person's organism that they become insane. Cases of possession do occur in the New Testament. Exorcism or conversion of the obsessing spirit is healing for the person. Such madness can be cured by a spiritualist. Many mediums have already done so. The third type of madness is organic, caused by illness. This is the most difficult of all to cure. Inherited madness can be cured by converting the inhabiting spirit, the second case by converting the foreign spirit, through mediums. The third case is like any other. Imagine a sanatorium for the insane, in which pure, good mediums act as healers and converts. Truly, it would be a divine thing. But as it is, doctors often grope around in the dark and torment patients without being able to cure them. They only look for the ailment in the body, when it usually lies in the mind, where healing can only be achieved through spiritual means. Truth. Reason and understanding bring the knowledge of truth. The only truth is with God. He is truth. Whoever turns away from him also distances himself ever further from truth. O friends, be true, in everything and in every way. Little ones, never speak an untruth, not even in jest. Allow yourselves no little lies, rather remain silent. Truth is simple and requires few words. Therein lies its greatness. Ask God for knowledge of the truth, it comes from him. Wisdom, who is wise? He who believes in God and immortality, who lives here on earth as if he were to be brought down to God every day, who leads a pious, virtuous life and uses his reason to help God. The pious person is wise, then, but not always the scholar who has studied many books and yet doubts God. The wise person is humble, he does not speak much, but his actions are just semicolon. True understanding is only great and perfect with this wisdom. The wise person is not a loud mouth, yet he bestows truth. He is not a scribe, yet he knows everything, for he has humility, love, and trust in God. Faith. Gifts that are appreciated before God. Exist. Reincorporation. The reincorporation, the theory taught by Spiritism and Buddhism, has become the subject of fierce attacks from both churches and spiritualists. It is curious that even the spirits who reveal themselves are divided over this theory. Some affirm reincorporation, others deny it. This should not surprise you. Just as all people are not of one faith or opinion, so too are spirits, because their knowledge is limited. The spirits who want nothing to do with reincorporation reveal themselves to those who also deny it, and vice versa. Here we affirm reincorporation as a great truth, as a law of progress, as a means of God's grace. We ourselves have continually experienced it. Reincorporation is atonement, punishment, reward, mission. It is either a commandment or free will, often also self-will. It is atonement and punishment for those who have something to make right on earth, reward for spirits still earthbound who love the earth and still seek their happiness there, a mission for high spirits who, following the divine commandment, have a great task to accomplish on earth for the glory of God. It is a commandment for fallen spirits clinging to earthly things. It is free will in the mission, and personal will in the willful, unrepentant spirit. The fallen sensual spirit, which has no concept of spiritual love, the one who clings only to matter, is, to a certain extent, potentiated and improved by reincorporation. The spiritual person, who knows spiritual love and virtue, has no need for reincorporation. For them, existences are like journeys on which they learn and forge bonds of friendship, increasing the circle of their loved ones. Whether you will need reincorporation or not depends on you alone, on your virtue, your spiritual progress. Many mysteries, such as inequality in the blessings and the position of people, are explained by the atonement and punishment inherent in reincorporation. It is a truth, grace, and love of God. Reunion. Spiritualism is the true doctrine of reunion after death. Do not despair at the coffin of your loved ones. Let the earth have its portion. The best portion, the spirit, is yours. What seems like separation is only farewell. Your transfigured ones travel ahead, you follow. This is not delusion, it is truth. Millions of spirits proclaim it and say, there is no death, we are here, we live, we will find each other again. This is the glorious comfort of spiritism. Let, O men, see this divine comfort enter your hearts, dry your tears, and look to Jesus. He too returned after his death. He too appeared to his disciples and communed with them. Believe like the apostles, and divine comfort is yours. God's will. Whoever investigates and understands God's will also grasp it. Whoever lives in God's will is on the right path, and no opposing will can have power over him. It is useless to rebel against God's will. You must submit to it. You cannot learn to understand it through scholarship, but you can through prayer and contemplation. If you wish to draw closer to God, to be in communion with Him, then pray and speak to God. Never murmur. Consider everything as God's will, trust no wisdom. O man, learn to say in firm faith, Lord, your will be done. Willpower. Practice willpower rigorously. With it you can accomplish everything a person can. Above all, you can improve yourself. God gave you the will. So exercise it according to divine law. Everything revolves around the different wills of people. The good will makes one holy, perfect, happy, great. The evil will, on the other hand, makes one miserable and unhappy. A person without a will is like an animal. They go to their own ruin just like the stubborn, willful person. Willpower must reside in the spirit. It must desire what is good and noble. It must rest in God. This is the will that every person should strive for, the will that is one with God, and that conquers and dominates all things because it is founded in God. 222 It is not the power of the flesh, but of the spirit. Self-control is the first step to willpower. You must be master of your body, senses, and passions, only then do you have a firm will. If your physical body follows your spirit, then others will follow you. If you can control yourself, you can also control others. Above all, follow the will of God. Science. When it goes hand in hand with faith in God, science is a benefactor and educator of humanity, but it sows unrest and discord when it goes against God, and denies immortality. A fragmentary knowledge, that wants to know nothing of God and ignores Ilm, the Creator. What good is progress in knowledge, art, and industry to man if he forgets God and his soul in the process? If he regresses in spiritual knowledge, morality, and virtue? A true Babel, decay, and destruction rise from this. Thus, the most beautiful works fall apart, for faith, morality, and virtue hold. 228, the whole together. The millennia teach you this. We see fallen peoples with all their art, all their knowledge. Why? Because they had fallen into immorality, into unbelief, they had built on sand. Human works perish, however beautiful and seemingly perfect they may be in their prime, but God's work survives all ages, all destruction. The spiritual and the good endure through all devastation. Therefore, the best science is, to believe in God, to know, and to do what is good. We look with disgust upon science, which teaches the overthrow of faith, the denial of God and immortality. In it lies regression, immorality. It corrupts good morals and hinders intellectual progress. And how wavering are the hypotheses of scholars? What one person asserts today, another overturns tomorrow. The scholar should humbly admit that he never stops learning. He should not deny things he does not know or understand, for it is unscientific to deny what one does not know, what seems unbelievable. Such scholarship is evil. A simple child who piously prays to God and trusts in Him is wiser. Desires. There are people who never stop desiring. No sooner have they achieved one thing than they desire something else. They are mostly unsatisfied, unhappy. They could be the luckiest people in the world, but their desires would never end. Striving for what one cannot attain is unwise and unprepared. Gellert says, "Enjoy what is granted to you. Gladly do without what you do not have. Every station of life has its peace, every station of life has its burden. Passionately desiring unattainable things can make one a sinner and a criminal. Therefore, banish all earthly desires from your heart, and have only one desire, to please God, to serve Him alone. Time. Time is with God, time and eternity are one, time is eternal, it never ends, yet every minute of life is precious. If you love someone from the bottom of your heart, you grieve for every minute you must spend away from them. See, this is how it should be with God, every minute, 225. Do not delay, hurry. Why waste time for improvement? It cannot be made up for and remains just as much bad time. Improvement, and even perfection, are not easily achieved. You yourself create good or bad times, depending on whether you follow God's commandments. It is not an empty phrase that time is precious. Believe this, child of man, and make the most of it. Anger. An angry mind should practice self-control and willpower. Only in this way can one overcome this fault. Keep yourself in check, even when it rages within, however difficult it may be. Speak and do nothing in anger, you might bitterly regret it later. Do not listen to the evil spirits that incite you to anger, do not become their instrument. In moments of agitation, say, God, help me. And you will see how the Lord stands by you. Future. Place your future trustingly in God's hands. Do not hope for mountains of gold. Those who place their desires in God will never be crushed by worry about the future. Those who set their expectations too high will be disappointed, and those who expect little will be delighted. Live in such a way that your past is good, be content in the present, let God provide for the future. This is the way of the wise. Doubt. Doubt is an enemy that creeps in unexpectedly. Doubt assails every thinking person, therefore, intellectual progress must be fought for step by step. Animals do not think, they have no doubts. The person who thinks little also lives on end differently, without doubt, without firm faith. But where heart, reason, and intellect speak to one another, doubt arises like an evil spirit that wants to undermine God's words. Oppose doubt with faith in God, with forbearance, it will always have to yield. Do not let it take root in your heart, confront it courageously, and victory is yours, and in it, God's peace. Christmas. Christians celebrate the birth of Jesus at Christmas. Celebrate this time in blessed gratitude, in which God sent you the Savior. Sing your hallelujah. He, the Redeemer, who practiced nothing but love, forgiveness, and reconciliation, has been revealed. Give thanks, praise Him. Kneel at the manger of Jesus, pray, ask Him to teach you humility and love. See how great and exalted He is despite His poverty and need. Thus, He gladly teaches you to be outwardly poor and lowly, if only you are inwardly good and holy. As the shepherds, the kings, and the people came to Him, so you all come to Him, you are all equally dear to Him, for He died for all. Celebrate Christmas in love and with devotion. Let your hearts grow warm for the God-sent Savior, for the one who gave you a divine example and taught you divine things. On Christmas Eve, the feast of the Christ Child, it is now customary to delight children with gifts. Yes, do this, clothe the poor children, give them food and drink, refresh and gladden them, remembering the Christ Child in the manger, strive to be as simply devout as the children whom the Savior allowed to come to himself. Rejoice, O Christendom, the Savior is born. People distinguish between the old and the new year, and yet before God and in eternity, nothing is old and nothing is new, all is the same.